Excuse me, may I talk to you for a second? Yes. This is the Black Real Estate Dialogue. And the purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors. So you want to start a podcast, huh? Well, we got something to help you. The Black Real Estate Dialogue brings you the How to Start a Successful Podcast on a Budget with No Experience ebook and webinar bundle.
We are controlling transmission.
Come and put info into action as we show you the step-by-step process to sharing your successful podcast on a budget. This bundle is full of the exact details, social media hacks, and podcasting process we've used to gain 13,000 downloads and over 10,000 Instagram followers. But that's not all. As a bonus, you'll receive the exact super trackers we use to stay organized and free access to our private Facebook group designed to help you execute. Make sure you click that link now because there is an audience for you to reach. The How to Start a Successful Podcast on a Budget with No Experience, the ebook and webinar bundle presented by the Black Real Estate Dialogue. Do you really think investing in real estate is too expensive? Well, you wrong about that. Presenting a beginner's guide to buying your first out-of-state property, a Black Real Estate Dialogue course. That's right, it's the new course presented by the Black Real Estate Dialogue, teaching you how to develop the investor's mindset, the advantages of investing out of state, getting your finances in order, finding the right location, assembling your team, creating financing strategies, how to find and analyze properties, how to find tenants, real-life case studies, and so much more in bonus content.
Oh yeah, did we mention you have lifetime access?
My goodness! If you have dreams of buying a property out of state but have no idea where to start, well, this is the guide for you. Learn the tips from someone with firsthand experience.
Are you looking for a community of like-minded individuals and access to experts in real estate?
Yeah.
Are you interested in real estate but need more support and guidance?
You know who it is.
The Black Real Estate Dialogue presents the Real Estate Investing Community. No matter how much or how little real estate experience you have, we've created a community for you because your perspective is important. All right, tell me, where's the number one place where you can do Q&A with experienced guest speakers 2 times per month? How about unlimited access to past guest speakers' recordings? What about a private Slack channel to engage in daily discussion with everybody in the community to share resources and support each other? Head on over to blackrealestatedialogue.com. That's blackrealestatedialogue.com. It's the real estate investing community presented by the Black Real Estate Dialogue. Come join us today.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast, episode 75. A few quick announcements before we get into this week's episode. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe to the podcast on whichever platform you're listening to this on. This will help us move up in the rankings. It'll also help us to reach more people. So thank you in advance for supporting us in that way. And if you could leave us a rating and review, that would be helpful tremendously. So thank you in advance. This episode is sponsored by the Bread Real Estate Investing Community. If you're looking for a group of like-minded individuals and exclusive access to experienced real estate investors, look no further. Each month, we have masterclasses that are taught by guest speakers in various areas of real estate twice a month. We also have unlimited access to past guest speaker recordings, so you can watch them at any time. You have access to our private Slack channel to engage in daily discussion with everyone in the community to share resources and also to support one another. So definitely something I would love to see you involved in. I would love to see you grow in your knowledge of real estate and connect with people who are experienced in various areas. So if you want to be a part of this, go to blackrealestatedialogue.com. and you'll be able to find more information. For those who have been tuning in for the last couple of weeks and months, you know that I'm going through my first tenant turnover. So my tenant moved out on Memorial Day, and I had some open houses while she was there. And something to note is that the rental prices for homes in the area have gone up tremendously. So there was a home about a half mile away, same exact square footage, a little more updated than my property, that was going for $500 more than I was charging. So I was amazed to see the prices go up like that. I originally had my rent somewhere in the middle. I had a lot of leads, had a lot of interest and applications. I had approved a family to move in. They ended up flaking and staying where they're at. So I decided to just shift gears and focus on updating the property, making it a little more modern. So I'm going to keep you all updated on that and hopefully get somebody in there by July. So change the strategy a little bit, but you know, I'll miss out on this month's rent, but that's the importance of having reserves. I have reserves that can cover the mortgage and whatever other expenses. So I'm not too worried about that. So definitely keep you all posted on that. Without further ado, let's get into this episode, another episode of The Bread Residency. Looking forward to you all hearing Rashida and where she's at in her journey. So without further ado, let's get into it. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. If you haven't already, please leave a 5-star rating and a review for us on whichever platform you're listening to this on. This will help us move up in the rankings and also help us to reach more people. I'm excited to be back again with our Bread resident, Rashida Green Sherman. Rashida, thank you so much for coming back on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me again. Excited.
Definitely, definitely. So on the last show, we kind of talked about your journey, you know, why you wanted to get into real estate, what your process was like in buying your first property, which you purchased this year. So we got to talk about the pre-approval process. We got to talk about location and research. So just excited to dive in today, talk more about what it was like closing in the first day and just what those experiences were like. But there is one thing I did want to talk a little bit more about from the last episode. You mentioned that you had done research just with some people you knew, with professors and so forth. And so can you talk about what that research was like and how that helped you ultimately in locating the right property?
Yeah, I spoke to a few people that have interest in Newburgh, either they live there, they have property there. And I took the time to just get on a Zoom call, get on a phone call and ask them very basic questions. What they like about the space, what they don't like about the space, what the space, what Newburgh needs, what it doesn't need. And I got, you know, so much feedback, so much. I was able to see, you know, get a better idea of the vibe of that space. I also spoke with some professors on their ideas and just theory on moving into another space that I'm not from, that I know has a potential for gentrification, and understanding that, you know, how do I fall in that realm of being somebody that is a gentrifier? How would that, you know, how will I be viewed by the neighborhood, by my neighbors? Mm-hmm. So that research was really, really important moving, you know, in my purchase decision and deciding to actually go there. And it's also giving me a lot of perspective of how I take up space there, mm-hmm. how I present. So yeah, definitely. That was really important in my research process.
Definitely, definitely. And for those who have not heard Rashida's first episode, I highly recommend you go to episode 72, listen to the first episode, and everything we discuss here will make sense. Just a quick reminder, come back, listen to this one, make sure you listen to 72 as well. Something you mentioned, I want to talk more about. So you mentioned gentrification. Everyone has their different perceptions of it. It's a big topic, right? One thing you said is that you consider yourself a gentrifier. Could you talk more about that?
It's understanding how I present. I am buying a investment property in a space that I didn't grow up in. I didn't have any affiliation with. I'm not of there. I'm new and I'm looking to create a foundation for my life to, you know, to create wealth, create a foundation for a good life for me and my family and my future family. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to take care of two generations down and, you know, the generation behind me as well, my parents. So it's about, you know, you got to change, you got to like look in the mirror sometimes and realize that, you know, there are people, there are gentrifiers, but are you the one gentrifying the space? What does it look like when you come into that space with an investment, particularly an investment if you're for property? How is that going to be perceived by the people that have been there, always have grown up there and, you know, proudly say that they're from that space? So, and then also it makes me realize what can I do to give back to the community? What can I do to say, hey, I completely support this, or I completely support this space and I want to be part of its growth. So yeah.
Definitely. Have you thought about, I know obviously it's been like, feels like it's been like 5 minutes, but are there any ways that you've thought about giving back to the community or being part of the community?
and kind of how you can contribute?
Yes. First, by keeping my tenants there. Mm-hmm. Like, they've been there. They're great. They're of Newburgh. Keeping them there. Also, shopping locally. Shopping, there is a, you know, down the street, there's like all big box stores that I can choose to go to, or I can choose to go to like the local mom and pop stores right around the corner in walking distance. I think also purchasing property directly from their land bank, which those funds are dispersed, accordingly throughout the community. And also bringing something beautiful. We'll get to it later, but, I'm in the middle of the architectural review committee, and I want to make a beautiful building. I want to make it look, bring it back to its when it was brand new. So I want to give that and make it shine. And that gives, that enlightens a spirit of, you know, of a space like that, of a city or a town. So that's how I give back.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. So awesome. So the next thing I'd love to talk to you about is, you know, we talked about, again, pre-approval, location, research. Take us to the closing table. So, you know, what was the closing process like? Were there any obstacles? Did you have a super delayed closing? Like, talk to us about what that process was like before you got to finally just sign and proceed with everything.
Sure. My closing was pushed back 3 times. Was supposed to be, I believe the first one was in November. We ended up closing in the end of January, 2021. And there was a lot of little things that needed to be ironed out. And they weren't on me, but they were part of our contract, the contract that I had with the seller. I had a list of it. We had agreed on a few things, and they were, he had to install a fence in the backyard with a permit. He had to clear the backyard of all the vegetation. There was like weeds that were like 9 feet high.
Wow.
To clear out. Yeah. There was the basement had to be clean, removing all the mold out down there. There was ivy growing on the side of the building, so he got rid of that. And this is super important, any open permits or violations, they had to be resolved. So within coming to closing, the last month, the month prior, the seller was working on all those items, and some of them didn't get done. Mm-hmm. And I'll get to it later, but I have to work through them. But I was compensated for that, which was great. So getting to the closing table was just making sure I didn't actually have a final number for my closing. It kept going up and down. At first it was, I think it was like 14. Then the next week it was 16,000. Then at one point I read something that said 19,000. I was like, that's how. So I don't really understand it completely, but it was my loan broker basically saying that these are what's like, it's calculated I don't really understand. So it just kept changing. It also kept changing on the things that he wanted to compensate me for. So, and then there was utilities that he had to pay the final bill on, and that changed the number again. So the month before was just a waiting game, and me just tapping my foot, you know, saying like waiting for the day we get like the okay, like this is the day.
Yeah.
And we finally got it. So we went, I thought closing was, I don't know why, I had this whole idea of what closing looked like.
30 days, roses, no problems.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, you know, some like big office table and like, you know, like leather seats and all this stuff.
Lights and all cameras and, you know, the news reporters.
Yeah. But we're in COVID time, so it was not like that. The seller wasn't even there. I thought that the closing location was going to be somewhere in New York, like the Hudson Valley, New York, or maybe even the city. It wound up being way out in Long Island, at a place that just specializes in or just handles closings, which I didn't know existed. So, so the day of, I woke up and I was super nervous. And I had to get a cashier's check. And I think that morning I found out what my closing costs were going to be. I think it was like the very close to that day, I found out what they were exactly going to be. And they were significantly lower. They were like 10,000 and change. So I got the cashier's check. and just went out there. And went out there. We got into a conference room. It was me, my lawyer, my loan broker, my mom, and the person doing the closing. And she just had a big stack of papers. And it's just huge. And she walked me through every single thing.
Yeah.
And my lawyer was there, which I never done this. So I didn't realize, I didn't know that my lawyer had to be right there seeing everything and looking. So at first I was just signing everything. And then she was like, wait. And then, you know, she would look at everything. She would read it, look at it. And then I was like, oh, okay. Sign.
Yeah.
But yeah. And then, you know, I asked questions like, you know, what is this? Like what, like they would say terms that I didn't understand. And I would just be like, what does that mean? And, you know, everybody was just really just happy to be like, thank you for asking that. And here it is in really simple terms. So it was really unintimidating and it was really, really liberating.
That's awesome. How long did it take you to close? How long did your closing process end up being?
We signed our contract at the end of September 2020. I think like maybe like last few days of 2020. And then we closed in January, end of January. So what is that? October, November, December. Like
about four months.
Yeah, 4 months.
Got it. And the reason I wanted you to specifically say that is because, you know, you're a first-time investor and it seemed like everything that could go wrong to extend the timeline did go wrong. Now, what was it that told you to keep going? Like, why did you keep going? Why didn't you just give up and say, you know what, maybe I should just get another property with a smoother process, with less issues? Why did you keep going?
It's my goal. It's my dream. I'm not going to quit on a goal or a dream. It could have taken a year. That's what I wanted. Everything lined up for it. And if it took a little longer, okay, that's it. Then there's something to learn in those moments. But there was no way I was going to give up on that goal because I knew once I had that, there were other things I could do. There were other opportunities that would be opened up for me. So don't quit. Just keep going. It wasn't even a thought to quit. It wasn't even a thought to give it up because I know it brings me to the next level.
I love it. And I really want people to take that in. You know, there are things that are going to go wrong. Even in my own closing process, a lot of things went wrong and it was very nerve-wracking. It was very scary. But to your point, this is just part of the process. You know, it may not all go smoothly, but in the end, you know, if you stick it through, you will have the result you want, which is a property. So I think it's a great thing that you did that because if you didn't, we probably wouldn't be sitting here today. You know, talk to us about that feeling once you finished signing all the papers and the property is yours. How did that feel?
Man, it felt great. I called up my brother to tell him. It was good. It was just felt like when I was little, I always wanted this. And to actually see, like to have it was just like nice. Like it felt good in my soul. It felt good like I'm doing it. It made me feel like I'm doing the right thing. You're laying that foundation brick by brick by brick and don't stop. Like, yes, this is great. That's a great, like it felt great. And like, you know, yeah, I took the night to just chill and really be like, yeah, like all that hard work really paid off. And it just felt magical to have a goal and have a dream and meet it. And then also be like right after or in that process, be like, keep going. Because then right when I got that first one, I know that whatever I do, whatever goal, whatever dream, whatever I want to do, I can do it. And, you know, that's all I needed. I'm unstoppable now.
I love it. I have a post that I put up sometime that says something to the effect of, you know, one property can change your life. You know, all it takes is one. You know, it all starts with one, right? We do have those who buy many with their first deal, but, you know, just to see how it changed what you thought was possible. You know, you just mentioned like, if I could do this, there's no goal I can't reach. And it really just shows the power of getting started. You know, we're in the middle of the rehab, you know, it's still very early on, but just the fact that this purchase has brought about such a change within you and such an inspiration within you of what is possible, I think is extremely powerful. And I don't want the listeners to look over that as well. You know, it's great to have many, many units, but, you know, it's the first one that gets you going. It's the first one, you know, that will help you get into the direction of getting more. So I think it's awesome.
Right.
Awesome. So, all right. So you signed, you know, signed, sealed, delivered. And you get the keys. You show up on your first day. What is that like? You know, do you have a plan? Are you like, all right, I'm gonna show up and see what needs to be done? Like, what was going through your mind at that time? And what did you walk into when you finally got the keys?
Well, yeah, I got the keys like 3 days later. Okay. We closed on a Friday and the check didn't go through until like a Monday. Mm-hmm. And the seller was like, hey, I'm gonna keep these keys until the check goes through. And I was like, completely understandable. So I had to wait an entire weekend to get up there. And when I pulled up, it was like, here we go, like phase two. You got it. Like let's, you know, let's assess the situation. And it was nice because it was the first time I was able to go through and like really just see certain things that I've always been curious about or didn't really know or poke and prod. Like I was walking around with my hammer and my chisel the entire time, just, you know, poking under the floors, seeing what was behind walls, seeing what things were made of, that I didn't get to see like the first time. Day one, what I did was instantly change the locks. I had a locksmith come in, got some good locks, changed all of that. I changed the locks and I introduced myself to the tenants. I got them signed up on, formal introduction. I went over how we would be in contact, how you could contact me during, with certain things. I asked, and we went over the lease. So I signed them up. I use Avail, mm-hmm. For property management, mm-hmm. and I got them signed up. It was super quick. The lease was online. They were able to sign the lease there.
Were they month to month at that point with the previous owner?
No, they had a year, like a signed like year lease.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah. For 12 months.
Got it. So did it end when you bought it, or you just basically transferred them over to like whatever your lease was?
Yeah, I transferred them
got
over.
Got it.
But for one tenant, mm-hmm. theirs ends in the middle of September.
Okay.
So I said, let's continue to September and go from there.
Got it. And how many units is it again?
Three total. Two are currently occupied.
Got it. And those tenants, like, did you adjust the rent at all, or was it just like whatever they were paying before?
Whatever they were paying before.
Got it. And how was their reception of you? Like, were you kind of nervous coming to talk to them? Like, what was that interaction like?
Inside I was nervous. Yeah. But you know, I just wanted to, you know, let them know, you know, hey, like I have to come in with a confidence so they know that the person that just purchased their house that they live in knows what they're doing and that they can have confidence in me. So that was one thing I really wanted to get across with, you know, my posture, my body language, and what I was saying. I hope that they saw me as somebody that could be trusted with their, you know, their home. So we basically going back to what I was saying about signing them up, I signed them up on Avail. I request that they get renter's insurance, and on Avail, you're able to like instantly get renter's insurance through Lemonade. It's like seamless process. And I think Lemonade were the renter's insurance was like $70. Mm-hmm. I signed over. Okay. And also on the first day I signed over utilities, and which took a few, it's like took a few days, mm-hmm. but I started signing that off, signing that over. And, I just asked the tenants, you know, what they need, what needs to be repaired, what needs to be replaced. Because if it was anything significant, which I don't think anything was, I don't think there was anything significant that they brought up. But if there was, I wanted to address that before I started work on the first floor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Got it. So you came in, you came just rolling in. You came right to it on the first day.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's awesome. Cool. So the unit that you're moving into, that's the one that needed quite a bit of work. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Got it. What were high level, like what are some of the things? I mean, we'll get into tremendous detail the next episode, but I guess at a high level, what are some things that you realized were wrong with it? And what are some things that maybe you didn't realize, like during your inspection period and all those things, that needed to get done?
I didn't realize a lot. That's normal. And I would say normal in the first time or a very limited time seeing a space like that. So what I didn't realize is what exactly all the walls were made out of. I realized that it's a house built in 1890. There's an addition on the back of the building, which I haven't been able to pinpoint a decade for that, when that was added. But I knew that there was a lot of different materials throughout, but I didn't know what exactly they were. Some drywall, some plaster, tile. So I didn't really know. There's a bunch that I did. There is a bunch that I didn't realize after I started opening. Well, I didn't see until I started opening things up when I started knocking down walls. When I started poking and prodding, there were one wall. I don't know why I thought it was a load-bearing wall, meaning it carries the weight of the floors above. It wasn't a load-bearing wall, so I was able to do other things with that and transform its use or change its use. I didn't realize how extensive interior demolition was. To physically do it. My homegirl helped me out so much. Like, she is a beast, and she was there from day one, helping me out, doing a lot of the labor, with me. And, there was one day where she just did it all herself. She took all the cabinets out. I think initially it was, and I didn't realize also that the windows do not operate at all. I did not realize that a lot of the windows were sealed shut, or, just sealed shut in a fashion, or they were not working, which it is what it is. I don't fret on it, but I would have been able to put that more in my budget and then also do the research beforehand to do that. But hey, it is what it is. I learned. Those are some things I didn't realize. I didn't realize also that, there's a gopher or a woodchuck living in the backyard rent free. I didn't realize that. I didn't, little things. Like, I didn't realize also that there was like a really beautiful, chest in the, basement, which has since been damaged for, that's another story for another day. But there's, when you're in the space and you get to really, really look around and you realize different things and every day. I didn't realize that the bathroom had an exhaust fan. And the more that I peeled that layer back and I saw, okay, where does the exhaust fan really go to? How is it physically leave? How are the fumes or how is the air being exhausted from the space? I just didn't know until I pulled it back and realized it was being expelled through a 2-inch gap between my building and the building next door, because they're right adjacent to each other. So just interesting things like that. Peeling back the layers, you get to see a lot. So.
Definitely. And the reason I ask that is to illustrate that, you can do as much due diligence as you can, and you should, but there's always going to be surprises. You have a pretty big rehab project. If you listen to the show, you've heard countless guests say everything is not going to come out as you think it will on your scope of work. It's just the cost of doing business. And I don't think it should deter you from investing or from getting a property, getting into real estate, but it's just something that people need to understand. Everything is not going to go as planned. You're going to discover some things, but it's just an opportunity to learn. It's an opportunity to develop. And you just can't let it stop you, So I think it's great that you mentioned that.
Yeah. It's now I know for the next time, which will make the next time more seamless and more profitable.
Absolutely. That's exactly. It's how you got to see it. And then, the next property you buy after going through this whole process, you'll know like the back of your hand, you'll be able to go through it much more prepared, and everything like that. So yeah, this was dope. It's good that we got an opportunity to talk about the closing process. We got an opportunity to talk about the first day, and we kind of got to tease some of the renovations. The next episode, I'm very much looking forward to just talking more about the renovation, what that's like, doing a renovation as a brand new investor, what that's been like, some tips you have and things like that. But I guess before we wrap, is there any tips you have for anybody who's maybe going through the closing process right now, or maybe that's a part of the process that scares them a little bit? What are some tips and encouragement you would give to somebody in that position?
Stay the course. Ask a lot of questions for whoever your team is. Keep doing research. Keep saving your cash. Keep saving your cash. Save it more than you probably were. I would say save it more than you were before. Stay the course and be disciplined. You have to be disciplined. You have to, every day, if you're doing the same thing every day to make this work, keep at it, because that one day it will pay off. Definitely do your research and ask people that maybe already have an experience that the one, like the one that you are trying to achieve, contact people that you might, that you originally might not been, you know, comfortable or knew that they were involved in something like this. Just reach out. A lot of people are really excited and happy to help. I'm really happy to help. And yeah. And also on the first day, I did forget on the first day when I did get in there and the locks were changed, I did a really good happy dance because it was very, very liberating.
I'm glad you did.
And, yeah. And I went and I want that for other people to experience that because it was like, it felt good. It felt good. So
it's awesome. Anything else you want to share with the listener before we wrap up?
Stay the course, stay disciplined. Mm-hmm. Don't quit. Follow your dream.
Definitely. And so where can people reach you? Where can you keep in contact with you? I know some people have already reached out to you just to chat and connect, which is great. So, you know, definitely want to get more people sent your way. So could you just drop your information really quick?
Yeah, you can reach me on Instagram. My handle is RASHIDAHGS. That's Rashida GS. Or you can email me at RGSHERMAN9@gmail.com. That's Rashida G Sherman 9@gmail.com. RGSherman9@gmail.com. That's
perfect,
it.
Perfect. Perfect. Appreciate you coming on the show. And, you know, I'm very much excited to dive into the next episode. And for the listeners, on the next episode, we'll talk about the renovation process. Definitely take a chance to check out Rashida's profile, hit her up. And, you know, we'll definitely share more as we extend and go further into this residency. So thank you so much to everyone for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. If you want to keep up with everything we have going on, tap into all of our resources, courses, and et cetera, go to blackrealestatedialogue.com. That is the best resource to tap in. Thank you so much. I look forward to hearing from you all soon.